You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Refusing to muddy our boots with the muck and mire of politics is simply not an option for a follower of Christ.
Tradition is smarter than any one of us, smarter than any group of us, smarter than any generation.
With modern bromances or modern friendships or even modern marriages, the moment it's not fun anymore, you're not happy anymore, you just abandon it. You leave it because it's not serving you.
The discerning consumer of this type of television should say, Rod Parsley is offering these blessings, Larry Huck is offering these blessings. I think I want those ones better than those ones, so I'll send my money to that guy.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues Etc.
It's an endearing story in the Old Testament, one that usually gets trotted out at weddings because there's an out-of-context quotation. Ruth actually speaking to her mother-in-law, not a husband speaking to his wife or a wife to her husband, talking about whether thou goest, I will go, whether thou livest, I will live, whether thou diest, I will die. It makes good, well, kind of somewhat syrupy wedding vows, but the original context of that has far more to do with the true God, far more to do with the covenant people of God, and far more to do with the faith of this woman named Ruth, rather than her affection or her love for her mother-in-law. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Ruth as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker here in the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Tina Whittington, Executive Vice President of Students for Life of America. We're going to talk about the future, actually the present and the future of pro-life activism. Dr. Ken Sherb will continue our series, part 41 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation today, continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, picking up at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., it's looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson today, Ruth. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Can we say on the basis of what we read here of Ruth that she is an Old Testament believer?
Yes, we can, because she is married to Naomi's sons, and through them for 10 years, she had learned about the God of Israel. So when she talks about going back with Naomi, she does much more than just say that your God will be my God. She also says, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And to be buried in a land of a God that you wouldn't believe in is ridiculous. So by those very words, she is saying that she does believe in the true God. And in fact, even uses the name Yahweh in verse 17. May the Lord, and that's all in capital letters, which reminds us when that is in the English, she's using the true name of God that Moses heard on Mount Sinai at the time of the burning bush.
So her affection for her mother-in-law is far more than just personal affection. This is a woman who is does not want to leave the covenant into which she's been brought by faith.
This is really quite amazing because she is from Moab. She is a Moabitess, and the Moabs were not well loved by the Israelites for a number of reasons. They were really the enemies of Israel. They caused a lot of problems during the wilderness. They had their women try and have the Israelites commit adultery. And so at this time, there was no law from God that you couldn't marry a Moabite, but that did occur later on because the Moabites, they came from a union that was quite interesting. And therefore, these were people that were not well loved by the Israelites.
So tell us the story of, it starts out with these three women, and then later we will meet this kinsman redeemer that will play into the story, Boaz.
They decide, well, what happens just from the beginning quickly is that there's a famine in the land, and so Elimelech, the father of Naomi, takes he and his wife and his two sons to the land of Moab. And by the way, the Moabites, their beginning was interesting. It was the horrible, sinful union of Lot with his firstborn daughter. That's found in Genesis 19. That's where the Moabites come from. Then they go to Moab because of the need for food, and it appears that Elimelech also sold his land as a last resort, kind of trying to keep his life together. And when he goes to Moab, the sons meet two women who they marry. And those two women are widows, because not only does Elimelech die, but the two sons die also. And Naomi is very, very bitter. In fact, she changes her name from Naomi, which means pleasant, to Mara, which means bitter. And she's actually angry at God. And this is a good point to make to the Sunday school children, that a lot of time it's because of our life or our sin, we are made to lose hope, and therefore we blame God. We don't blame the devil. We a lot of times blame God. So she finds out that the famine has dissipated in her land of Israel, so she decides to go back. And the one daughter-in-law, she remains in Moab, but Ruth goes with her. Having said what you yourself repeated, I will go where you lodge, I will lodge, your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Now, when she gets there, she begins to find food in the fields. In fact, that was a law of God that you wouldn't pick up all the food in the fields, but allow the people, the poor people, to get that. And she's noticed by a man named Boaz, who is related to Elimelech, but he's not first in line. There is another one who could redeem Ruth. Finally, the relationship between Boaz and Ruth is cultivated, and Ruth wants to marry her, but he has to get permission from this other redeemer first. And he does that by telling him that if he marries Ruth and she has a son, then her son would be able to take over the property of this man. And this man has his own children, and he doesn't want to divide up his property. So they make a contract in front of the elders for Boaz not only to buy the field that was Elimelech's, but also to marry Ruth. And that does occur. And Naomi is just so happy. And by the way, she did things to make sure that Ruth and Boaz would get a proper relationship. She was telling Ruth, when you go and take the food from the fields, don't go with the young men. Just go with the women instead, because she didn't want her to get infatuated with a man who would not be able to redeem the land. So this is what happens. Boaz marries her. Now, I think you really hit it on the head, because I call it the common theme: where you go, I will go; where you lodge, I will lodge; your people shall be my people, your God, my God. And that is used for marriages. But as you pointed out, it's not that Ruth was going to be marrying Naomi. You know, this is not the year 2016, but rather that she's going to be going with her. It could be used to show that within a family, the kind of love that needs to be going on. And I guess you could excerpt that for a husband and wife. But that's really not the point of Ruth. There's a different theme for this entire book. Sometimes I get letters from people, and it may be a lengthy letter, and I know them well. All I have to do is go to the last paragraph in the letter, and I'll find out what they're really wanting me to hear and what they want to talk about. Well, this is the same with the book of Ruth. When the child is born to Ruth, the neighborhood women, they say, a son has been born to Naomi, because now she has a son through Ruth, and she's even taking care of the son. And they named him Obed. Now listen to what's next. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And we suddenly see the purpose for the book of Ruth. Had Boaz not married Ruth, the line to Jesus would have ended, and we would all be going to hell, because the promise made to Abraham would not have been fulfilled. But because of this marriage, therefore the line to Jesus continues. And it's such an important line, it's even mentioned in the first chapter of Matthew, where they're giving the genealogy of Jesus. And what's not said in the book of Ruth, but is said in the genealogy here, listen to this. And Solomon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Well, who's Rahab? She's not a Moabite. She's a Canaanite. She was the woman who protected the spies from the enemy when they came into the land of Canaan. Rahab, a Gentile. And then it goes on, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. Well, there's Ruth, another Gentile. And then it goes on, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. So one can conclude that Jesus Christ had both Jewish and Gentile blood within him, because not only of Ruth, but also because of Rahab the prostitute, who of course converted also, as did Ruth, to the true faith. So that's just a quick summary. A lot of other details in Ruth we can look at, but the point you would be making to the children is, even though a lot of terrible things might happen in your life, God has a purpose in permitting every one of them, and he causes all things to work out for our good. Sometimes it takes a long time to realize that. Sometimes we may never realize it this side of heaven, but that is his promise, and we don't live by sight, we live by faith.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Ruth and continue our teaching of a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 12th. After our conclusion of our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker, Tina Whittington, Executive Vice President of Students for Life of America, will join us to talk about the present and the future of pro-life activism.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Are you looking for Christmas cards that combine beautiful art with a clear Christian confession? Emmanuel Press offers Christ-centered, affordable cards in a variety of designs. You'll find cards with stained glass, illumination, German frescoes, and other unique artwork found only at Emmanuel Press. Visit their website, emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Ruth. Tom, if you would, you made the very concrete historical connection before the break between Christ, his lineage here through this woman, Ruth, his physical and his human lineage there. There's also a foreshadowing of him in the character of Boaz. Talk about that.
Yes, Boaz becomes the redeemer for Ruth. What does that mean? Well, the actual word redeemer is used in the Greek, even at the time of Jesus, to speak about the price one pays to buy someone out of slavery. Now, what Boaz did, there was another one who could have redeemed her, as I mentioned. He was kind of first in line, but if he married Ruth, her son could have taken over his property in the lineage. So he doesn't do that. So one can say that Boaz becomes the redeemer of Ruth. That's really somewhat important because Ruth is not an Israelite. She is a Moabite. And that shows another connection between Boaz and Jesus, that Boaz is, or that Jesus is like Boaz in redeeming not just the people of Israel, but even the Gentiles. He has that blood within him, so we ought not be surprised. The Apostle Paul, Romans 9 to 11, he makes the point in chapter 9, not all Israel is of Israel. Well, what's he talking about? He's saying that not everybody who can trace their line back to Abraham is of the true Israel now, because the true Israel is the Holy Christian Church, not the nation of Israel who are related to Abraham. And he makes the further distinction that it is those who trust the promise of Isaac, that through Isaac, all the nations will be blessed by the coming of the seed of Isaac, namely the Messiah. Those are called those of the promise. And it's a law and gospel thing again, because the Pharisees, like in Luke 18, thank God I'm not like that terrible tax collector, that sinner, because I, and notice what they start talking about, I fast, I tithe. They're pointing to their obedience to just the ceremonial laws. In contrast to Jesus, who shows in the Sermon on the Mount, they may not think they have committed murder, but even the thought of anger unjustly towards someone or a word commits murder. So as Boaz redeemed Ruth, Jesus redeemed us. And Boaz paid for that redemption. Jesus paid with his own life.
And he takes her on and makes her, it incorporates her not only into the, she's incorporated by faith into the covenant we talked about before, but now she's actually incorporated into the people of God, physically incorporated in, so even so much as you said before, to become one of the progenitors in, according to the human nature, of the Savior of the world.
Yes. And this is another point that could be made to the children, that God often chooses the least likely to be doing his work. And he does that because he is a jealous God and wants no one else to take the credit for what he is doing. So whom does he choose to fight Goliath? David, a young boy. Whom does he choose to continue the line to Jesus? Ruth, a Moabite. In other words, we too are those who have been called into vocations and also into callings where God takes people that don't deserve to be doing the business they are doing, but God is working through them. There isn't a Sunday school child that God cannot work in, not only when they get older, but even as they are young. We often would have the Sunday school children invite their neighbors to our vacation Bible school. That is following the vocation to tell others about Jesus and help them be put into a situation where they can learn about him, as God did with Ruth when she married into the Israelite family.
Finally, with about a minute here, Tom, if you would talk in a general sense about how this is another sign here in the Old Testament that God is seeing his promise made to Abraham through, down to the smallest detail.
Yes, as indicated, had Boaz not married Ruth, we would be in trouble because the line to Jesus would be broken. There is a wonderful chart put out by Concordia Publishing House that begins with Adam at the top, and it's a straight line all the way down to Jesus. And along the side are the other sons, for example, of Jacob, etc. But that line to Jesus goes through Boaz and Ruth and Obed and Jesse and David, where Jesus becomes the new David and, in a sense, the new Boaz.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Dr. Ken Sherb is with us for part 41 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. When we come back from this break, we're going to be continuing our conversation, talking about Luther on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about the law remaining until it is fulfilled. Not a iota, not a dot will pass away until it is finished. We'll talk about those words through the mind of Luther with Dr. Ken Sherb after this.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.